Welcome to Lockdown Grizzlies Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King. For this show, the Grizzlies took a loss to the Magic tonight. The Grizzlies signed a new player, and Jaren Jackson Jr. and Justice Winslow are getting back to action this week. We'll talk about all that and more on this episode of Lockdown Grizzlies.
Pull up, jump shot, it's good! Zach Randolph does it again! Three-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the show. It's been a while since I've been on the podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed last week's guest host, Sean Coleman, great friend of mine. Super happy he was able to get that done for us and host the show while I was out of town last week. I had one of like the bigger weeks that I have all year long. In terms of my real job. So it was a huge week for me. So I was just not around at all. So I appreciate him stepping in and taking over the podcast for a couple days. There's some news that has happened since we last spoke. The Grizzlies signed a player of the weekend. It looks like Jaren Jackson Jr. and Justice Winslow are going to be back to regular form, close. And the Grizzlies took a loss tonight to the Grizzlies, to the Magic. Not a great loss at all. So we're going to talk about all those things on today's episode. Let's start with the signing of Jontay Porter. This is a guy that the Grizzlies signed a multi-year deal. It is basically a guaranteed deal for the rest of the season. And then it is a team option. If I'm not mistaken, it's a team option for the Grizzlies next year. So, it's a good signing. It's a shrewd signing. It's smart. It is very little risk for a very high reward type of signing. Jontay Porter, if you don't know who he is, he's a guy that I'm sure you've probably read by now, but he's a guy that is Michael Porter's brother, but is a guy that has spent a lot of time basically being a lottery pick or being projected as a lottery pick. And so it's a guy that has had injury issues, tore his ACL a couple times. He tore his ACL, I believe, before the season started, and then also at the draft combine. So he didn't get drafted last year. So he's an undrafted rookie, basically. And again, it's a signing that I think is a very, very small risk. It's a signing for the rest of the year, guaranteed. And you have a option at the end of the year. Just to let you, you could probably decline the option if you wanted to maybe put him on a two-way deal. You could obviously just pick the option up if you want to continue to have him progress. But it's a guy that's not going to sign or not going to play this year at all. So it doesn't affect what you're trying to do in the playoffs. You don't have to try to get him minutes. You don't have to try to get him looks in terms of his development or what you want to see with him on the floor. None of that. None of that matters. All you're trying to do is get him into your program, and you'll see what happens next year. He's still rehabbing from that knee, so he's not going to be available at all this year, but he will be available and ready to go for the start of training camp next year. And that's really, this is a long-term move. Jontay Porter is a big guy. It's not a super athletic, but it's a guy that kind of a Marc Gasol-esque type of center. There are several different centers in today's NBA. There are a lot of tweeners, but he's a guy that is a very smart IQ, high IQ guy. And I think he could be good. You never know of injuries, and that's tough because injuries can really derail a person's career. And so especially with back-to-back ACLs, you never really know what's going to happen. And so that's why you're taking a risk because he's not going to play. Doesn't cost you a lot of money. You already have the roster spots, all those type of things. So we look back to when they waived Deion Waiters, things like that, and they signed Tolliver. Like there's a lot of things they've been able to do in terms of what the Grizzlies have done with the roster spots over the past few weeks. So we've seen that. And so I think this is a good signing. Again, it's not a very high risk, but could be high reward type of signing come next year when he's back fully healthy. So taking a shot on somebody who is currently injured, but has had that pedigree in the past of being a very, very good NBA player, I think that's really, really smart by the Grizzlies. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about Jaren Jackson Jr. and Justice Winslow next. When you start your hiring process, you may have questions. Will you find good applicants to choose from? What about education and experience? And how will you know you've made the right hire? Indeed is here to help. Millions of great candidates use Indeed every day to find their next opportunity. You can post a job in minutes and use screener questions to help you create your shortlist of applicants fast. Also, add skills tests to your job posts so you can be confident in your applicants' abilities. Their library of more than 50 skills tests ranges from industry-specific skills like accounting to general aptitude tests like critical thinking. Indeed gives you the smart tools to make your hiring decisions quickly and to be confident that you're making the right hire for your team. Post your job today at Indeed.com/LockedOn and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. That's Indeed.com/LockedOn. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Offers valid through March 31st, 2020. The Grizzlies released a medical update on Jaren Jackson Jr. and Justice Winslow and Brandon Clark, all three guys, on Monday of this week. And it basically said that Jaren Jackson Jr. and Justice Winslow were slated to probably come back this week. And so I expect Jaren to be back next game after the Magic game. If not, I mean, I expect him to be back the end of this week. That's what I read. That's just me looking at the situation. That's what I would think for the Grizzlies. But again, this is a front office that is notoriously, as we've seen with other players, they're not rushing people back. They're going to let them recover from the injury and then rehab and then recover from the rehab. And so there's two parts of an injury. You have to recover from the actual injury itself to where you can do things, but also recover from the rehab, get back into playing shape, all those type of things. Now, for Jaren Jackson Jr., it hasn't been a long time, so that's probably not something that's a huge for him. But for Justice Winslow, it's a little bit different. So we've seen this Grizzlies front office be very careful with their players, especially their franchise players, in terms of what they're going to do for them long term. They're not just going to rush them back for a random game in January. There are just because they're in this quote-unquote playoff race, they're still 3.5 games up out of any other team in terms of the playoff race. So not just going to rush him back for any reason at all. Brandon Clark is a prime example of that. His update is basically said that it said they'll give another update when it matters. So he's still the same space as he was before, is that nothing's changed, that they'll update when he get another update. And so for Brandon Clark, there is no timetable for him to return right now. He had his injury and they said they would update in 2 weeks, and they did that. And it was the same thing. They would update again when they had one, which sometimes they just do that, and there really is no real update other than he's still hurt. So look for Jaren Jackson Jr. and Justice Winslow to come back, which I think is interesting whenever Justice Winslow does get back into the rotation, especially and Jaren Jackson Jr., is what the Grizzlies are going to do with the minutes. Now, we've seen Anthony Tolliver get some minutes, obviously, because of the injuries. We've seen John Contra get some minutes because of the injuries. I think those are probably your first two guys to go. But what's interesting is that you have Justice Winslow at that wing spot, but you also have you have Josh Jackson at that wing spot. You have Kyle Anderson. You have Dylan Brooks. You have Melton that sometimes plays there. There's a lot of things, I think, that are going to be very interesting in terms of what the Grizzlies are going to do. Now, I expect them to probably start Justice Winslow off the bench first, like have him come off the bench in terms of the game. I don't expect him to start right away. Now, I do expect him to be there starter full-time when it matters down the road, but I don't think that they're going to do that right away. And so I think you'll see him come off the bench. But Josh Jackson is a guy that's been playing incredibly well lately. He's been like the go-to guy off the bench for the Grizzlies. Like when the Grizzlies need offense, he's been that guy that's been able to go get them offense on that second unit over the last week and a half. I mean, as people have been out, he's really stepped up his game. He's played incredibly well. And so, he's playing probably 20, 22 minutes a game right now. So there are going to be questions in terms of how many minutes are people going to play. You have Kyle Anderson that's probably going to see a decrease in minutes when Justice Winslow comes back, because he's playing about 25 minutes a game. And so, is it going to be Kyle Anderson? Is it going to be Josh Jackson? Is it going to be D'Anthony Melton? Like, where do the minutes for D'Anthony Melton come from? You could eliminate Anthony Tolliver and John Conchar and get you probably 25 minutes a night right there. But when Jaren Jackson Jr. comes back, he's going to be slotted in at right at 30 minutes a game. So it's going to be really strange. And I did the math, and I think that once you, you know, you have 10, 11 guys playing, that's just not a whole lot of minutes for everybody. And that 11th guy, you're going to be stuck at, you know, you're going to be, if you just give Jaren, Dylan, Ja 30 minutes a game, Jonas 25 minutes a game, you know, there's going to be a situation where, you know, obviously De'Anthony Melton's been playing about 20 minutes a game. Tyus Jones been playing about 20 minutes a game. So there's going to be a situation where you just kind of run out of minutes. And so it'll be interesting to see, especially those first few games, what the Grizzlies decide to do with Justice Winslow, how they try to work him back in, and whether that's just like a 10-minute a night, 12-minute a night, 15-minute a night. I don't know what they're probably going to do, but based on their history, based on what they've done before, I would expect them to do some type of minute restriction or working him slowly back into the game off the bench. I wouldn't expect him to just get in the starting lineup and just go. Now, Jaren Jackson Jr., when he gets back, he's in the starting lineup. He's going back to like the way he was. Like, that's just, there is probably no real working him back in. He might play a little less minutes, but he's straight back into the starting lineup, and then you go. Again, when he gets back into the starting lineup, that pushes Kyle Anderson out back to the bench, and you have Kyle, Josh, and Justice coming off the bench there. So that'll be interesting to see what they do. Or you could have, you know, if Justice goes to the starting lineup, you'll have Melton, Josh, and Kyle Anderson off the bench as well. So that'll be interesting to see. You know, you could probably play Kyle off the bench at the four. You could play Josh, you know, at the three, maybe at the four as well. So maybe they just go super small, and maybe it's just matchups. I'm not really sure. I'm just kind of throwing out it is. I think it's going to be interesting to see what the Grizzlies are going to do with Justice when he comes back, because he's going to get minutes. He's going to get minutes. That's what he's here for. You all want him to have minutes. But whose minutes is he going to take is the real question. Let's take another quick break. We'll be right back. We'll talk about this Grizzlies loss to the Orlando Magic that happened on Tuesday night. Welcome back to the show. Grizzlies took on the Magic 120-115. It's a bad loss. You know, the Grizzlies had a 17-point lead in this game. And anytime you have a 17-point lead in a game, you expect to win that game, period. You know, I saw some people on Twitter talk about how, let's just have some perspective about who's playing for this team with Anthony Tolliver and Tyus Jones playing minutes and John Contra getting minutes and all this other stuff. And not having Jaren Jackson Jr., not having Justice Winslow, all that. I get it. But I do not care about that. I do not care about the playoff race where it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things because you have a 3.5 lead. I don't care about the playoff race. I don't care about the personnel. It's a bad loss. It is a bad loss no matter what any way you slice it, because if you have a 17-point lead, if there is a 17-point lead in a game, in an NBA game, you should win that game. Just like we talk about the flip side for the Grizzlies when they had a 5-game losing streak. If you get down 18, 19 points to a team in the NBA, it is extremely difficult to come back from. Extremely difficult. And so it's the same thing for the Grizzlies. If you were up 17 points in the first half, you should win that game. End of story. And the Grizzlies came out and had an atrocious third quarter. The first two quarters were great. They had the Magic have a little run, and they responded really, really good. But the third quarter was just terrible. They're terrible defensively. And as good as Jonas Valanciunas was tonight, and he was good, don't get me wrong, 27 points, 16 rebounds, I think that's great. But at the same time, he was really, really bad late in that game, through the third as well. Like, you can't continue to put him out there in the pick and roll and then expect to win those type of matchups. Every time down, they're putting him in the pick and roll again and again and again. Like, it's just not going to work out for you. Again, I know that Jonas Valanciunas is good at offense. That's what he's here for. I mean, that's the reason he is in this game, and he's great at offensively rebounding the ball, giving you extra possessions, 27 points. Again, fantastic time. It was the leading scorer for the Grizzlies. But at the same time, you got to weigh, it's hard because you got to weigh the option of what do you do on defense versus what you can do on offense with Jonas Valanciunas. And I thought it was clear that the Orlando Magic kind of figured something out, putting him in a pick and roll every single time almost down the floor at the end of that third, top of the fourth, going into that quarter. So, you know, I'm not saying this loss was Jonas Valanciunas' fault, because it's not. But anytime you have a 17-point lead, you expect to win that game. I just thought it was interesting that they really figured that out. And Jonas Valanciunas really struggled defensively late in the game because Terrence Ross was fantastic. He was really good from 3, 5 for 11. And once he started hitting the ball, he got hot. And the Grizzlies just could not figure it out defensively. They kept, you know, they hit a lot of three-point shots because in the first half, the Grizzlies hit, I think, three more three-pointers than them. And that's really why they were winning, unfortunately. That's why they had that lead is because they didn't have a whole lot more field goals, but they had more three-pointers. And they had more made three-pointers. And in the second half, that script totally flipped. And the three-pointers just went the other way for the Magic. They started hitting them. But yes, they were hitting those three-pointers. But at the same time, they were open. It's not like they were hitting like super difficult three-pointers through super difficult shots at any point in that second half. It's the fact that we've seen this time and time again with the Grizzlies. They were leaving them wide open. That's the real issue, is that the defense from the Grizzlies was rotating too much or doubling down too low or not rotating enough to leave wide open three-point shooters. And when you have someone like Terrence Ross who can get hot, you have to know where he is at all times. Like Dylan Brooks has to stay attached to Terrence Ross at all times. It doesn't matter. You don't get to help off Terrence Ross. If he's hit a couple threes like he was in the third quarter and he is hot and he's a player that can clearly shoot the ball well, especially when he is when he's on, you don't leave him. Like you don't get to leave him. And so he had a three-pointer in transition that was, that's not really Dylan's fault, just bad transition defense. John Morant took a fall, didn't get up right away. They started running and just, they didn't get back in time. And then, the last shot for the Grizzlies, they had a chance to win it. That was 118, 115. Grizzlies had a chance to win it, drop a play. They got a look from Tyus Jones. They got a good look from Tyus Jones. I don't really know how Magic can be at that because it was wide open. Michael Carter-Williams tried to foul him, thought he did foul him, and really just stopped playing. And so Tyus Jones gets a free look, and my first thought was, why would you let Tyus Jones take that shot? Like, why are you letting, quote-unquote, not the best three-point shooter for the Grizzlies take the last shot? And it's something that happened before as well, and a game's passed. Tyus Jones took the shot as well, and John Morant did not. So I thought that was interesting that also happened tonight. But when you look at it, my first thought was, well, why did you let him take that shot? Why would you put it in Tyus Jones' hands? Why would you look for Dylan Brooks? Now, personally, I would rather have Dylan Brooks shoot it than anybody who's 4 for 7 from three tonight. But there's really not a whole lot of fantastic three-point shooters. Like, honestly, Kyle Anderson, you're not going to give it to him. Jonas, D'Anthony, Anthony Tolliver, maybe. I mean, there's just not a whole lot of options there for the Grizzlies. And so you really miss Jaren Jackson Jr. in that type of situation where you could give the ball to one of your best players who is also an excellent three-point shooter and is really good in crunch time, and you can hope for a better shot. Not that the shot was bad, but hope for a better look or better or make it, really. And so, you start to look and say, well, why was Tyus Jones taking that last shot? And there's really not a whole lot of options otherwise. You could say Dylan Brooks probably should have taken that shot, and that's probably true. Dylan Brooks probably should have taken that shot just because statistically he's the best three-point shooter you have, and he was shooting well tonight. Now, there are times when Dylan Brooks does not shoot like that, and he's a very hot or cold type of guy. When he's on, he's on. When he's not, he's not. And so there's just not a whole lot of options for this Grizzlies team in terms of a last-second shot. But, they never should have been in that situation in the first place. Never should have had to have a three-point shot just to tie it. Never should have been that situation. The fourth quarter, third quarter was just terrible defensively. Just too many turnovers for the Grizzlies. Had 20 turnovers tonight overall. Like, you can't expect to win a game when you constantly give the ball away. But not only do you constantly give the ball away, you constantly give the ball away and just open turnovers, in-game turnovers, which are just basically not dead ball turnovers. Dead ball turnovers are when you throw the ball out of bounds and get to take the ball out again. Or you're throwing the ball away in the middle of the offense where they get free runs, free looks to the basket in terms of fast break points. So that was, you just can't have that. And then the other thing was free throws. Grizzlies were 73% from the line tonight, 28 for 38, and the Magic were 90%. I mean, you can't continue to have free opportunities at the line and just throw them away. Just doesn't work in any situation for the Grizzlies or anybody really. So those are the reasons the Grizzlies lost. Giving up a 17-point lead, it starts with defense. Starts with just staying in the game, mentally staying in the game every single time, every single possession. And I thought that they came back out in that third quarter and just did the opposite of that. They probably took it a little easier, took it for granted. They were up 17 points, or I don't remember what the actual halftime deficit was, but they had been up a lot, and we're still up a lot at halftime. So, you gotta play better in those situations, and it's a learning opportunity for this young Grizzlies teams, especially going headed into the playoffs. That's something they're going to have to correct going forward in the future, not necessarily for this year, because this year is, again, it's all about learning. But this team has given us different expectations here that they are now in the eighth spot than they were at the beginning of the year. So, you can't give up 17 points. It's a bad loss. You really need that win, because the game's coming up the rest of this week and into the next few weeks are against really good teams. So the Grizzlies have opportunity to put some more distance behind or between the Pelicans and the Blazers. They have those coming up as well. Make sure you stay tuned for the next episode. We'll have Amari Sankofa on like we do every single week. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Make sure you tune into our national shows, Locked On NBA. Check those shows out. They're fantastic. Go subscribe to those as well.